It's very important that we set ourselves in the place, in a place that we can hear God. The Lord is always speaking to us.
Amen.
And He speaks to us through His Word. He'll bring a passage of Scripture back to you, to your remembrance. He's trying to tell you something in that. Mm-hmm. Or He'll just speak to you. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Scripture, but He'll just speak something to you. This week, I heard, I was standing at the mirror getting ready for work, and I heard this word. Inside of me, I heard this word, the word of the Lord. And what I heard is going to be paraphrased. I'm not going to quote it, but I'm going to read it for you out of the Bible where it came from. But I heard the Lord say, "What shall I liken this generation to?"
Mm-hmm.
It's like children
mm-hmm.
playing in the marketplace.
Yes.
That's what I heard Him say.
Yes.
It's like children playing in the marketplace. One of them said, the children are saying to their friends in the marketplace or their companions, they're saying, "We played you a wedding song, but you didn't dance.
Mm-hmm.
We played you a mourner song with a flute, but you didn't mourn." And then Jesus said in this passage, and I heard Him say, wisdom is justified by her own children.
Yes.
I was like, Lord, what are you? I heard that
mm-hmm.
right there. As I wasn't even meditating on that passage, but I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord saying, this is what this generation is like. This
yes.
is what this generation that we live in, which was the same generation that He spoke to when He said this, and is the generation we live in now. He said, wisdom is justified by their own children.
Okay.
Now, we're going to break that down and look at that, because you can imagine when the Lord said that to me, I said, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What does that mean? What are you speaking to me? Why would you just say that to me
yeah.
right now at this time in my life? And so, as I broke it down, I believe I have a greater understanding, and I believe that it's very important coming into this new year, as we're going to study more about coming forward, about the mouth, how
yes.
this year, I'm not bringing all that up, but this is a year of the mouth, I'm not going to, because
mm-hmm.
Carmen is developing something with that, and I'm working with Holy Spirit to what He would show me, so I believe the Lord is setting us up for victory this year. He wants to set us up for victory. And so turn with me, if you will, and I'm just going to read this from the New King James, because when I first started memorizing Scripture, that's what I memorized it from. And so when the Lord speaks to me, usually He brings it back as I memorized it, right? That makes common sense. So go with me to Matthew chapter 11. You can also find this in Luke chapter 7. And I encourage you always to bring something to write with when you come to church. Every time I go to a service, I bring something to write with, because I believe that God, you're going to get lots of scriptures and you're not going to be able to remember all of them. I know you're smart. I know you're really smart. But you know, be wise too and just write them down. Then you don't have to go back later and try to remember, you know, what it was that somebody said. Okay? So you're going to find this passage in Luke 7, verse 31 through 35. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, verse 16 through 19. Because I didn't hear all of this scripture. I just heard part of it when I was standing there in front of the mirror. And basically the Lord was saying, Jesus was saying, what shall I compare this generation to? They're like children playing in the marketplace. They're like children playing in the marketplace. Saying, you know, like I said, saying to their companions, we played a wedding song for you and you didn't dance. We played a mourner song and you didn't mourn. And then the Lord said, wisdom is justified by her own children. And we're going to break that down. That's rich. That is rich. Okay, Matthew, let me get to Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. Starting at verse 16. Okay. But to what shall I liken this generation? These are the words of Jesus. It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a gluttonous man and a wine bibber, or a lover of wine, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is justified by her own children. Wisdom is justified by her own children. So you can imagine when the Lord said this to me, I'm like, Lord, what are you trying to say? What does this mean? What does all this mean? So immediately, you know how when you read a passage, there are some things that just stick out at you, right? There are certain words that jump out at you. Well, the words, of course, wisdom jumped out at me, but also the words, first of all, the words that jumped out at me were her and children. Wisdom is justified by her children. Wisdom has children. Wisdom produces something. Isn't a child the product of a man and a woman?
Yes.
So wisdom here implies that this passage, Jesus implies that wisdom produces an offspring. And not only does it produce an offspring, what does a her do or a mother do? They nurture. They develop. So wisdom is developing something here. Wisdom is producing a child here. Wisdom is justified by her children. So that was very interesting to me to start out with, that wisdom, Jesus himself calls wisdom a her.
Yes.
And he also says she has children. Okay? So, you know, we shouldn't just skip over things. We should study it out. So I went to Proverbs 8. Turn to Proverbs 8. Now, this is just going to be an overview. This could go very deep. There are many places in the book of Proverbs where wisdom is called a female.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That does not mean that God is a female. I am not calling God a female. But I'll tell you something. El Shaddai is the breasty one. And that means that God is a nurturer.
Mm-hmm.
El Shaddai is called the all-sufficient one. It literally translates the breasty one. El Shaddai, the Lord God, gives nourishment. It's nourishment with an intent to produce something, or that something that's already been produced gets taken care of. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And wisdom does this here. Look at this. Just a little bit of wisdom here. And once again, I only brought one translation. Well, I did bring two translations, but I'm reading from the New King James. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? Look at this again. She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. Go down to verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one can desire cannot be compared with her. So clearly, wisdom is looked at from a female or her point of view. Okay? Because for the most part, women are nurturers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are situations where women get off in another direction and don't nurture their children, get under the control of the enemy, or there are situations where men have to step into that position, unfortunately, and do that. But the way God designed it, right, was for women to bear children. That's still how it happens, and also to nurture them. Okay? So, I looked up the word justified. Justified is number 1344. In the Strong's Concordance, and it means to render or show or regard as just or innocent. Okay? And it comes from another word, the root word 1342, that means to be equitable in character or act. That means to be right in character or act. Okay? But see, Jesus is not complimenting them here. Do you understand that? Jesus is not making a compliment to this generation.
Right.
So, what is wisdom? So I looked at what is wisdom. If Jesus said wisdom is justified by her children, wisdom is, the word justified means to be just or innocent or shown to be right in character, But yet Jesus is not complimenting. This is not a compliment. So what is he saying here? So I looked at wisdom. Look, wisdom, number 4678, means wisdom higher or lower. Worldly or spiritually. Wisdom is not necessarily godly wisdom. So let's kind of paraphrase this. But wisdom, whether higher or lower, whether worldly or spiritual, is shown to be right by her offspring. By her children. Okay, I know that. I'm going to explain it. Children means to be complete or consummating character. Consummating character. And it comes from a root word that means to be full of age or man. In other words, the wisdom that we follow, whether it's low wisdom, earthly, sensual, I'm going to prove this to the scripture, or it's heavenly, will produce a full man in you. And the wisdom that you follow, that you allow to nurture your life, will testify and justify what wisdom you're of. Y'all, don't you see? No wonder the Lord was telling me that's what's going on in the world. That's what's going on this generation. They are so convinced that they are so right, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Wisdom is justified by their own children. Mm-hmm. What you are is a result of what's been nurturing your life. Mm-hmm. And in your mind, you justify it because it's your wisdom.
Mm-hmm. But then they say, my truth.
Y'all, someone can sound so wise. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into this. Because justified also has to do with your character, your actions. So the wisdom that validates your life is proved by the character or the actions of your life. You can talk as wise as you want to, but the justification that proves to God Almighty and everybody else what child you're of, what child, whether you're a child of God or a child of the world, is by the character and actions of your life. No matter how wise a person talks, y'all, no matter how wise they seem, isn't that the snare of the world?
Yeah.
Think about it. They want you to think they are so wise, that they are so on top of it, that they are so full of understanding. But actually what you have to look at is their character and their actions. That's how you can judge what wisdom, but also you can judge what child they're of. Mm-hmm. What has birthed to them? Okay, let's repeat this because this is worth repeating. Wisdom is justified by our own children. And I'll move some scriptures here. I'm going to give you some scriptures. Wisdom is justified by our own children. Wisdom is producing something. The wisdom I follow is producing. I'm an offspring of the, there you go. I am an offspring. I am a result of the wisdom that I follow. The wisdom that we are nurtured by verifies who we are. Wisdom is good or evil, y'all. Wisdom is not always holy. Like I said, Jesus is not complimenting them here. Jesus said, your children, wisdom is, the wisdom you're following is worldly, it's sensual. That's what he's speaking about, these religious leaders here. And it's you're the child, you're the product of your own wisdom that you're following. Mm-hmm. To justify means to render, to show or regard as just or innocent. That's why when someone has wisdom is so important. It is so important to follow God's word and be bathed and saturated in God's word. Y'all, because if you get caught up in worldly wisdom and worldly understanding, and you're running here and there to get your information here and there and there, you're building your life. Y'all, think about it. From a baby, your life is the result of all the knowledge that's been brought into your life. When you were a child, you couldn't control what you were exposed to some degree, could you?
Right.
You went to school, your parents taught you, but now that you're an adult, you can control the knowledge and the wisdom that builds your life. And if we choose to let all the knowledge and understanding that is out there be what influences my life instead of letting God's Word influence my life, then I am going to be produced by all. My life is going to be the product. I'm going to be a child. I'm going to be an offspring. I do not want to be an offspring of the wisdom of the world. That is a legitimate child. That's not a child of God. Do you understand that? That is an illegitimate child. That's not a child of God. Okay, so I'm trying not to. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. What I'm saying? Okay. I don't want to keep on. But to justify means to show or regard or just to show or regard as just or innocent in character or action. Okay. Children are. It means to be complete, to consummate. It's talking about character. In character. That's in the same passage. I looked up that word in this passage. Jesus is talking about their character. You're a man of full-grown age, he's saying here, and this is what has influenced your life, worldly or sensual wisdom. Like I said, wisdom can be high or low. It can be worldly or spiritual, not necessarily speaking of godly wisdom. The wisdom we are nurtured by verifies who we are. All of humanity, all of us are a product of wisdom that we allow to nurture our lives. The wisdom we follow will tell the truth about the kind of person we truly are. Oh my God. The wisdom I follow will justify me. Look, that doesn't mean it makes you right. The wisdom you follow will testify. If I'm following worldly and sensual wisdom, that wisdom's going to testify through my character. Yep, yep, yep. There she goes. That's what she's like. You understand what I'm saying? Character. I heard it said years ago by a former pastor that he translated this passage. It said, if a person is so rich, if a person wants to, think about it, if a person wants to do something bad enough, they'll find a way to justify it. Isn't that true? If your flesh really wants to do something, it'll even find scripture to verify what you want to do. Wisdom is justified by our own children. You have something to say, man? Wisdom is verified by our own children. The wisdom you follow will testify about you.
Yes. Yes.
Your character will prove. Mm-hmm. My character will prove what wisdom I follow. Wisdom will say, yep, and shout out and say, yep, that's right. That's my child right there. Yeah. That's my child.
Yeah.
I don't want to be called the wisdom. I don't want to be called the offspring of the wisdom of the world. I want to be called the offspring of the wisdom of God. Oh, great. So the Lord showed me. He showed me what it means. That's what he was trying to tell me. He's saying, that's the same thing going on, my child. This is what I can compare this generation to. They're like children. They're like children. They're going to whine because they played you a happy song and you didn't dance. Mm-hmm. They're going to whine because they played you a sad song and you didn't mourn. Mm. Jesus said it's the same thing. John the Baptist came. He didn't eat. He didn't drink. He fasted. You said he's got a demon.
Mm-hmm.
You're like little children in the marketplace. You're justifying your own behavior because you have your own set of rules and wisdom. But God told us this so we can guard ourselves,
yes.
Y'all. This is now the time more than ever to be in the Word of God. Whether it's by audio, you have it in your tape, whether you're listening to godly teaching, or you're reading your Bible, we have got to be saturated with the Word of God. We have got to be so we can discern what is sensual and low wisdom, even though it might look real good and all dressed up. My God. He said it's the same thing. He said, and then I came, Jesus said that I came, mm-hmm. and let's see, I ate with sinners, and I loved tax collectors, and I turned the water into wine. Actually, mm-hmm. that's another subject mm-hmm. right there. Actually, they did it. You do it. We'll get into that later. They said, you do it. Amen. The servants were the ones that put the water in the jugs. Mm-hmm. Amen. Jesus didn't put the water. Jesus did not. Oh, I'm gonna get off on. Jesus did not put the wine in the jugs. He told the servants to put the water. Yeah. He said. She said to the servants, "You do it." Mm-hmm. Jesus said, "My time has not yet come." Mm-hmm. He said. She said, "You do it. Whatever he tells you to do, you do it." Okay, let's keep on going. That's for another day. We had a good conversation about that. Remember that? Okay. Wisdom is shown by her children. The character or actions of an individual reveal whether they are being shaped or nurtured by worldly wisdom or spiritual wisdom. This is the definition of wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge and good judgment based on experience. And I have to ask myself this. Is my knowledge and good judgment based on lower or worldly experience? Is it based on the highest form of knowledge and experience with Jesus? I cannot base my wisdom on experiences, y'all. I have to base my wisdom on the Word of God. Amen? Because if I base it on experience, then I'm going to be discouraged. I'm going to be very discouraged. But I have to base it on the Word of God. This is for us as believers. If you want to jot down these scriptures, I'm not going to turn there. I'm just going to highlight them, okay? This is what God says we are. This is what the Lord says He has given us. Colossians 2, 2 and 3. Colossians 2, 2 through 3. In God the Father, in Christ, is all the hidden, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In God and in Jesus is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For who is in us? Jesus. So in Jesus is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Jesus is in me, then what is in me also? Wisdom and knowledge. That's right. The treasures of wisdom and knowledge is in me. Is in me. Okay? Acts 6:3 says that the leaders in the church were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Holy Spirit, full of, they work together. Holy Spirit and wisdom work together. You can't have one without the other. Holy Spirit and wisdom. Acts 6:3. Acts 6:10. They were not able to resist the wisdom by which Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke, meaning Stephen. The wisdom of God cannot, God says, that's kind of wisdom I've given up. It cannot be resisted. The world may act like they resist it, but they don't receive it. But God says, when you are walking in my pure wisdom, regardless of what their reaction is, regardless of how they pretend they're not listening, regardless of how they pretend they didn't receive it, God says, when you are walking in my pure wisdom, the world will not be able to resist it. They will not be able to resist it. So how much more should we get wisdom? We should seek wisdom, God's word. Acts 21:15, he says, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. I will give you a mouth and wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:19, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And he says, he made foolish the wisdom of this world. That's 1 Corinthians 1:20. This is what wisdom does. This is the wisdom God has given us. 1 Corinthians 1:19, God says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. And verse 20 says that he makes foolish the wisdom of the world. How does God do that? He does it through us in this generation, y'all. That's why we've got to be full of the Word and speak the Word out into the atmosphere everywhere we go. Because when we do that, God is destroying the wisdom of this world. Do you get that?
Yes.
God is destroying the wisdom He's put in us. He is using when we speak it out of our mouth. He says right there, I read it for you. He says that I will give you a mouth and wisdom. I will give you a mouth and wisdom. And with this He will destroy the wisdom of the wise and He will make foolish the wisdom of the world. 2 Corinthians 1:12. 2 Corinthians 1:12. Not with fleshly wisdom. So we see there, like I just told you, wisdom can be fleshly. Wisdom is not always godly. Wisdom is a set of rules or guidelines by which a person nurtures their life. You know what? I can build my life on the wisdom of, I mean, some people are so, like, you know, they're, I just use this as an example. Some people are so, they are so addicted to a certain type of, let's even say a certain type of genre of music, or they're so addicted to a certain type of, like they're Star Wars fanatics. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, they're so addicted to that. They're just so absorbed with that. Everything, either, that's all they listen to. That's all they watch. They binge watch all this stuff. Well, that becomes the wisdom that forms their life.
Yes.
If that's the only thing you're getting, that's what's nurturing your life. It's coming in to you and it's nurturing your life. Same thing with watching TV all the time. Y'all, even same thing with watching news all the time. Y'all. It is. Yes, we need to be informed, but all what is feeding into you, all the time feeding into you, is nurturing you.
Yes.
And we are a product of what nurtures our life.
Mm-hmm.
For the church, yes. A greater example are the denominations. I mean, when all they feed off of is that it has to be this way.
Yeah.
You don't do this and that on Sundays. You don't do this and that. This is the way you pray.
Yeah.
We don't have that tongue talking in here. Yeah. We don't see the denomination. And again, they will find scriptures to justify their wisdom. And like I said earlier, that's where that saying comes out from, is my truth. Well, there's not my truth.
No.
It is either truth or it's not.
That's right.
That my truth is your opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And your opinion may not be right. But that's the denominations.
Yeah, I can see that, yes. Because that's what's nurturing the congregation.
Why don't you sing out of the hymn books?
I have a question to ask. Can I ask you?
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom is a spirit. God give it wisdom. Don't you believe wisdom is a spirit?
Well, wisdom is God.
Yes.
Wisdom is God. The proverb says, I wisdom was there in the beginning when the worlds were framed. That's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The Word of God we just read out of the book of Acts said they were filled with the Spirit and wisdom.
Right.
So wisdom is God.
Right.
We also read that in God, in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
dwells all the treasure of wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So wisdom is God.
And
it's Jesus.
And in this book, he said, I was there with him when he commanded the water to stop.
Yes.
That God commanded the water to stop, and the water stopped right there.
Yes.
So everything that you do of wisdom, and I at the 25th verse, and he said,
Proverbs 25.
Yes. He said, the heaven and the heaven for highest, and the earth for depths. And the heart of the king is
searchable.
So that means the wisdom, that maybe that's why Solomon, when he went to Solomon and said, Solomon, what do you need him to do for you? Mm-hmm. He said, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. For to me, when I study Proverbs, all three of them go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding.
Yes. It's what nurtures your life. You're a product of what wisdom you're following, what understanding you have.
Right.
Whatever source you get your understanding from and your knowledge from, you become the product of that.
You're right, because if you get the understanding from earth, you have earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get the understanding from God, the knowledge from God, the spirit, that's why it says, I like a spirit. Wisdom, knowledge, and
God is a spirit.
Yes.
He's a spirit. Yes.
So he just give you the spirit of knowledge. He give you the spirit of wisdom and understanding.
Amen. And in 2 Corinthians 1:12, Paul is speaking about, he's boasting of his godly character.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I didn't come to you with fleshly wisdom, but with the grace of God and the power of God.
Right.
The wisdom of God brings power.
Yes.
The fleshly understanding, fleshly wisdom has no power.
No.
It tries to manipulate and get people to fall you out of a sense of obligation, false obligation or manipulation or pressure. But the wisdom of God brings power. Where there is wisdom, which is God speaking, it brings power. God backs up his word, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yes, he does. Didn't you say just then, didn't you just read that he spoke mm-hmm. to the oceans and gave them their
yes,
boundaries?
Yes,
and told them don't come any further.
Don't
and what happened?
Don't come any farther. That's why I was, even the other day, I was saying to my friend, I said, when those people go on the ocean and build those big houses,
yeah.
and then they washed away, they're asking the poorer people to come with what you have to give them. I said, no, I'm not giving anything. Because the Lord said they wasn't to do it. And they do it.
That's wrong. That's a good point. They went into a place they weren't supposed to
yes.
occupy.
Because the Lord said to it, stop here, and it obeyed.
That is a very interesting thought. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. This is the purpose of the church. So why has God got us in this generation? Why does God have us in this generation? Well, you will know the purpose of the church is revealed right here in Ephesians 3:10. You can wrap up the whole purpose of the church right here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Okay? This is the intent of the church, that the manifold, I'm reading from the New King James, that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church.
Right.
That the manifold wisdom of God would be known by, be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Well, they're in the atmosphere. So how are we going to make that known? We're going to make that known by speaking out the wisdom of God. That's how we're going to make that known. That's how the wisdom of God is going to be made known to this generation mm-hmm. that walks in worldly or sensual wisdom. By us speaking out the wisdom of God. That does not mean necessarily, y'all, that you go around quoting scriptures to people.
Mm-hmm.
That means you are so absorbed in the wisdom and fellowship with God that your life, no matter, I believe it, no matter what you say, it is so saturated with the wisdom of God. Why? Because that's what's building your life. That's what you're feeding off of.
Yes.
What you feed off of is what's produced in your life.
And you believe that you have been.
Okay. Yes. Yes. So look at this.
Believe.
So look at this. The Lord gave this to me this morning because it's not just about you quoting the scripture. That's the purpose of the church, that the wisdom of God would be made known to the principalities and powers, that we are speaking out. We are speaking out to the principalities and powers that are trying to influence and govern this generation with worldly wisdom. We are speaking out the word of God, and we're making known, we're putting out into the atmosphere the wisdom of God, what God says. That's how we fight them. That's how we fight the principalities and powers of the Word of God. Right? And what that is going to do is that's going to change and have an effect on the wisdom that governs this generation.
Yes.
Now look at this. This was interesting. Matthew 26:73. Matthew 26:73. This is about Peter. You know what? When he was denying Jesus. Look at this. Surely you are one of them. Be calm, you're going to love this. Surely you are one of them because your speech betrays you.
Yes. Gives you away.
Your speech.
Yes. Yes.
You are right. And out of the abundance mm-hmm. of the heart, mm-hmm. the mouth speaks.
Yes.
They said to Peter. Peter denied him.
Yes.
They said, no, 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 no. Surely you, even in your denying him, Peter, your speech betrays you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you are one of them. You know what that shows me? And I don't mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to stand there and quote scripture.
No.
If my life is being fed off the wisdom of God, I can just say, how are you today?
Mm-hmm.
The presence and the glory of God is right there.
Right. Yeah. And that's what reveals where he says that he makes the things of this world, the wisdom of this world, foolish, mm-hmm. because the godly wisdom reveals that wisdom as foolish.
That's right. It does. It does.
And that means you have to have the godly wisdom. As a Christian, and we are trying to reach where Jesus said he will glorify us. We have a fight down here and a road to travel.
Back up a minute, ma'am. You mean we're trying to reach that place where we mean, you're talking about when we receive our glorified body?
Yeah.
Because he has already given us his glory.
Yes. Yes, he already gave you that. But he said on that day, he'll give you a stone with a name on it, and only you and him know that name.
Right.
So we have to ask the Lord for the earthly, to how to live in earth.
With godly wisdom.
With godly wisdom.
We live on this
to
earth.
Go through this road
we
and the pathway
earth.
we are going. So daily, minutely, and hourly,
Amen.
We have to be in it.
That's right. Meditate on it.
Yes.
Meditate. And
yes.
You know, the wisdom that God has, y'all, can be one word.
Yes.
It can be one word that comes out of your mouth. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be a scripture.
No.
It can be one word. And that is the wisdom of God. That will destroy the wisdom. False wisdom. Amen. Okay, I'm going to wrap this up so we can get on our other blessing for today. That word speech there means talk. Surely you are one of them because your talk. Your talk betrays you.
Yeah.
Your talk betrays you. 1 Corinthians 4:19. Paul says, not the speech of them which are puffed up. Ooh. This is a different kind of speech. This is a comparison of not the kind of speech that hasn't been with the Lord. Peter, there with Peter in Matthew 26:73. That's the kind of talk or speech that reveals he had been with the Lord. But 1 Corinthians 4:19, Paul says, not the speech of them which are puffed up, but have no power.
Mm.
That speech there, number 3056 in the Strong's, means something said, including the thought. A topic.
Mm-hmm.
Just a topic. They're just talking about something. Just a topic. Mm-hmm. Trying to make you think you're so wise or so knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. This is my thought on this. This is just my thought on this. That this kind of speech that Paul says is puffed up, is that a person just talks to hear themselves sound important.
Mm.
That's puffed up. Because who are they trying to build up? He said, I don't come with you. He's giving a warning of those whose speech or is like those who are just puffed up, but they have no power.
Yeah.
But the true wisdom of God is what gives power. Mm-hmm. Okay, now this is, I'm going to wrap it up with this, I promise. This is an exhortation that I'm going to release the blessing. This is how we all need to evaluate our life this week, every day. But this week, just pay attention to these scriptures, okay? Guard your speech and judge your words. We do it. We need to guard our speech, and we need to, every one of us, judge our words.
Yes.
Judge your words. You judge it, your words. Not somebody else. You judge it. The Word of God says if we judge ourselves, we have no need of anyone else to judge us.
Amen.
Okay? But here we go. Proverbs 17:7. These are just a few things I'm going to use this week to judge my words and my speech. Okay? Proverbs 17:7. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool. If I don't speak with excellence and speak God's word, what am I speaking as? A fool.
Mm-hmm.
Because excellent speech is not becoming to a fool. Okay? Here's another one. Proverbs 24:7. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. So if I don't seek wisdom in my life, that puts me in the category of being what?
A fool.
Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not. Isn't that interesting that he? That, I won't go there. I could have said something. I won't say that. He does not open his mouth in the gate. A fool does not open his mouth in the gate. What is the gate? The gate is a very important place where major decisions are made. The elders sit at the gate and made decisions that govern the city. The fool does not open his mouth in the gate. in the place of decision. He won't open his mouth there. One way you could look at that is to be wise enough not to speak about what you truly don't know anything about.
Right.
If you don't truly know anything about it, be wise enough not to speak about it.
Right.
In some respect, the fool is wise then, because he won't open his mouth at the gate. At that certain place, where decision's being made, if you really don't have any true knowledge of that, just don't say anything. So that's the way I can judge my wisdom today. I'm talking to myself personally, do I try to speak of things I really don't know anything about?
Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that.
No, you don't want to do that, because you're a fool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a fool does. Okay, Proverbs 29:11. And you can go through Proverbs. I know it's loaded with warnings.
Yes.
A fool vents all his feelings. You mean that word literally, feelings, translates spirit.
Mm-hmm.
A fool reveals what spirit there are.
Mm-hmm.
A fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. There's sometimes. This is how I judge my life this week. Am I going to be so caught up in something emotionally that I'm going to vent it all right there, instead of just taking that thing to God,
mm-hmm.
taking it to the Lord, and asking Him to give me wisdom and discernment in it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I just tell Him thanks. Tell Him thanks.
Amen.
For not speaking. I just tell the Lord thanks for just closing my mouth there. There are certain places. I know I talk a lot, but I don't talk about the Lord.
Amen. You don't talk
about But I have a time. You don't know if I have a voice, because I'm not opening my mouth. My mother used to say, when, where, and how you open your mouth.
When, where, and how.
When, where, and how.
Yeah.
Those three. You know.
In other words, judge your words, judge your mouth. This is probably the cream on the crop for me, and then I'm gonna release the blessing. Ecclesiastes 10:2. This won't get you. I don't know what will. The words of the wise man's mouth are gracious. They're full of the power of God. That's just my translation there. That's not what that says in the New King James. It says the words of the wise mouth are gracious. That's what grace is. Grace is the power of God.
Yes.
The words of the wise are full of power.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the lips of a fool shall swallow him up.
Talk about that.
The lips of a fool shall swallow him up. Your words that come out of your mouth are either going to produce power or they're going to devour you.
Yes.
Fleshly, worldly, lower wisdom will swallow you up. It will devour you. But this is the wisdom God wants us to have, and this is the wisdom we're going to walk in. This is our blessing. This is our blessing. James, everybody knows this one very well, right? The wisdom that's from above. James 3. James chapter 3, starting at verse 15. And I'm going to pronounce this blessing on us, and then I'm going to pronounce a Hebraic blessing over us, and then we're going to go to the next appointed thing, okay? You ready? The heading on this is Heavenly versus Demonic Wisdom. Wisdom can be demonic. Isn't that something?
13, please stop. Yes.
Well, let's start at verse 13 or read 13 through 18, but then I'm going to do the blessing starting at 15, okay? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but it is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing will be there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. First of all, that means we have peace with God, mm-hmm. peace with ourselves, and mm-hmm. peace with others.
Yes.
Amen?
Praise God.
Okay, now, this is our blessing. I'm going to speak it over us. Father, for us here and the body of Christ, I speak your words that are spirit and life. By the help of your Holy Spirit, we have wisdom. We walk in wisdom. We are nurtured. We are nurtured and developed by wisdom. We are the offspring of godly wisdom that is pure, that is peaceable, that is gentle, that is willing to yield, that is full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by us because we are at peace with you, God, with ourselves, and with others. In Jesus' name, amen. That's the wisdom that's from above. Now I'm going to release the Aaronic blessing. May the Lord bless you. May Yahweh, He who exists, kneel before you presenting gifts and keep you. May Yahweh, He who exists, guard you with a hedge of thorn protection that will prevent Satan and all your enemies from harming you. May He protect your body, your soul, your mind, your spirit, your loved ones, and all your possessions. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May Yahweh, He who exists, illuminate the wholeness of His being toward you, continually bringing order so that you will fulfill your God-given destiny and purpose. May He be gracious to you. May Yahweh, He who exists, provide you with perfect love and fellowship, never leaving you, and give you sustenance, provision, and friendship. May the Lord lift up His countenance on you. May Yahweh, He who exists, lift up and carry His wholeness of being toward you, bringing everything that He is to your aid, supporting you with His entire being, and give you peace. May Yahweh, He who exists, set in place all you need to be whole and complete, so that you can walk in victory, moment by the power of Holy Spirit. May He give you supernatural health, supernatural peace, supernatural welfare, supernatural safety, supernatural soundness, supernatural tranquility, supernatural prosperity, supernatural perfection, supernatural fullness, supernatural rest, supernatural harmony, supernatural as well as the absence of agitation and discord. May He give you the absence of all agitation and discord. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.